We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you guys. Welcome in. It is Wednesday night, and we have another very short show tonight. We got the Billikens women's basketball team taking on Mizzou tonight. So that'll be pregame coverage starting at 6:45. Opening tip is 7 o'clock, and obviously we have it all for you here on KMOX. In the meantime, I want to hit on a few things. I want to get into the Cy Young Awards, which were just given out tonight. Robbie Ray wins in the American League, and Corbin Burns in the National League. And there's an angle, and we'll do this in the next segment, but there's an angle on Robbie Ray that I find interesting because it ties into something we talked about last night. And I'm also going to do the what if, it's a what if type thing, but how many more games would the Cardinals have won this past season if Jack Flaherty had just been healthy? Again, no fault of his or anybody else's. I mean, people get hurt. But if he had pitched his 32 games instead of 15 starts and 17 total appearances, how much different would the season have been? Because we know that a lot of the problem, was started when he went down, and that was when the rotation was overexposed. So we'll get into that a little bit in a few minutes. I want to talk about some of the big pitching contracts too. Justin Verlander got a big deal tonight. He gets it's a one-year deal for $25 million for next year, but it's got a player option for $25 million the following year. So for his purposes, it's 2 years and $50 million guaranteed. It's just up to him whether he wants to get back out there in free agency next year and seek a longer-term deal or maybe a higher AAV. But coming off a year where he missed the whole year because of Tommy John, probably going to be a little tougher for him to get the length of deal that he wants. So we'll get into all that and how that can relate to how the pitching market is going and all of that. Because we have Syndergaard off the market now, too, and he got $21 million. So we'll get into all that as we go along. I want to start with the Blues, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, just a little bit, but we're in the middle of one of those stretches, man. We're in the middle of one of those stretches where things are just not going well. I mean, we talked with Darren Pang earlier in the week about some of the problems the team has had, and, losing to Edmonton, not the end of the world. That's a really good team. They've had a bunch of one-goal losses. In fact, they've got a four-game losing streak now. Every game is a one-goal loss. One of them in overtime, the other three in regulation. But, you're in every game, but that's not good enough. And, what's also not good enough at the moment is the performance on home ice. And this is repeating an issue that they had last year. The Blues are .500 at home right now. Technically it's .500 because you get a point when you lose an OT. But, they're 3-3-1 at home right now. And, last night losing to easily, by every measure, the worst team in the National Hockey League. I mean, there's nothing been good about the Arizona Coyotes. They were 1-13-1 going into that game last night. They had allowed the most goals in the National Hockey League. And even after last night, they still have allowed the most goals in the National Hockey League. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to take a peek here as I'm talking. I mean, they're far and away the worst offensive team in the league, too. Even after their three goals last night, they have 26 goals in 16 games on the season. They're not even averaging two goals a game. And you lose that game. That's a problem. Look, my belief when talking about teams, whether it's the Cardinals, the Blues, Mizzou, SLU, whatever, is what you're doing at the moment dictates the coverage. It dictates the tone of the conversation. And what the Blues are doing now is just not okay. It's just not okay. You can't lose at home to a team scoring fewer than two goals per game. I don't care if it's November. I don't care if it's April. I don't care when it is. A team that bad should never beat you on your home ice. The Coyotes were 0-9-1 on the road this season before last night. And you go out there and you lay that egg. Look, again, I know it's a one-goal game. I know they had chances to win it. That's the point. You know, again, I'm not gonna rag on a team. I'm not going to rip on anybody when you lose to other good teams. You know, Edmonton's excellent. They're on the other end of the spectrum, right? You know, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the league. I think they're second highest scoring team in the league coming into play today. I can understand that. I can understand a loss there. You notice I didn't give them a hard time about the game on Sunday. Losing at Carolina, again, not the end of the world. That's the second best team in the Eastern Conference. They would be the number one team in the Western Conference with 24 points. They have one of the best goal differentials in the league, and they've only allowed 27 goals in 14 games. So again, they're allowing fewer than, like, okay, all right, you know, losing on the road one goal game against one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, okay. Nobody should be upset about that. It happens. That's hockey. But it's a tough one when you lose on your home ice to a division rival like Nashville. And, you know, it's a tough one when you go against the worst team in the league by every measure and get beat on your home ice. And, look, I think they're going to be fine long term. They're going to be a playoff team. Coming into the year, I felt like they were going to probably be somewhere around third or fourth in the conference, three, four, five in the conference. Probably going to be somewhere in that range. They're not there now. You know, they're more toward the back end of the playoff picture at the moment. But it's November. You know, I mean, I'm not going to pick. This is not about big picture to me. This is about right now. And I know they've had players out and guys just coming back from COVID, which means they're probably not 100% across the board what they would normally be. But you got to figure it out soon, man. You know, that loss last night is the first time this year I've gone, that's horrible. That's not cool. That's not, there's no explaining it. There's no, well, you know, no. It's none of that. Yeah, losing to Anaheim. Good team. In fact, if I'm remembering this right, I'm going to look at it as I'm talking. That's the only game you've lost by more than one goal. And you've got a loss to Colorado. All right, fine. You know, we know Colorado's good. Loss against LA. All right, they're like you. Not the end of the world. You're on the road. You can live with that. Again, Anaheim, fine. You know, they're off to a good start. You know, that's again, understandable. You hate losing the home game against the division rival Nashville, but you got a point. Understandable. Carolina, Edmonton, like, all right, there are a lot of good teams in there. You're not whole, and they're almost all one-goal games except the Anaheim game. Last night stunk, though. And that's why I said I don't want to go on to this too long, because I don't want to make it sound like the team is falling apart. They're not. They're in every one of these games. But last night stunk. And hopefully we'll see a little bit different version of the team. And guys, a little bit more up to speed and a little bit cleaner game than what we saw last night when they take on San Jose tomorrow night. Because, you know, San Jose is, again, they're similar to the Blues in terms of points. They've got 17 points in 15 games. The Blues have 18 points in 15 games. But the reality is you're a better team than they are. So you got to get 2 points on your home ice tomorrow night. That'd be a good way to start the process of getting things turned back in the right direction. All right, stick around. We're going to change gears and go a little baseball next up. We'll talk a bit about the two Cy Young Award winners. One of them, Robbie Ray, comes with a really interesting storyline based on where he was a year ago. And I also want to throw out, based on this conversation, you know, how important these number one starters are, these Cy Young Award candidates. I mean, you know, Jack Flaherty finished fourth in the Cy Young Award voting in 2019. How much difference would it have made in the Cardinals' record if Jack Flaherty had simply been healthy last year? Again, there's nothing to blame. Injuries happen, but he only made 15 starts. How much different would that look if that was 32 starts? How many more games does that change in your favor? We'll get into that next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's do a little pitching talk here. Obviously, a lot of reasons to talk pitching today. We've got a couple of free agent deals that have gone out in the last 24 hours. Noah Syndergaard gets $21 million for a year with the Angels. And Justin Verlander today got $25 million for 2022, plus a player option for the same money for 2023. We've already seen Eduardo Rodriguez sign 5 years and $77 million. So starting to get an idea of where the high end of the market's going to be, where the middle of the market's going to be. And, you know, seeing some of these moves get done before December is interesting as well. And we're going to kind of combine that talk with the Cy Young Award today, too. So we've got a lot of reasons to be talking pitching. So the Cy Young Award went out today. I don't really have any hot takes on it. Robbie Ray won in the American League, and totally understandable. I mean, you know, he I think by most counts, had the best season in the American League, and it was pretty easy. He got 29 first-place votes. Corbin Burnes got it in the National League, and, you know, that was, to me, an interesting battle. Because, you know, with Corbin Burnes, you had the guy that had a lot of the best statistics. You know, like, he was really successful at, you know, best ERA in the major leagues. And if you looked further down the list of things like opponent batting average and his strikeouts per nine inning, led Major League Baseball. His walks and hits per innings pitched was as good as anybody. We all knew, though, that the National League wild card was going to be a lot tighter. I mean, there were a lot of really good candidates. In fact, you know, the voting was really close. Corbin Burnes won. He had 151 points, 12 first-place votes. Zach Wheeler had 12 first-place votes as well, and he had 141 points. I mean, it was a really close race. Max Scherzer was even close in the number three spot. Walker Buehler got votes. Brandon Woodruff. I mean, there were a lot of great candidates. And by the way, Adam Wainwright, I finished, see, 2, 4, 6. He finished seventh in the voting. And again, he had a fantastic year, but that's about where it should have been. When you look at, you know, Burnes and Scherzer and Buehler and Woodruff and Zach Wheeler and Kevin Gausman. I mean, a lot of guys out there that had phenomenal years. And I don't think there's necessarily a wrong choice. It is interesting that a guy like Corbin Burnes, who pitched the fewest innings of any of those guys I just listed, was the one that wound up winning the award, even though, you know, he only made 28 starts on the year, compared to 30 for Scherzer, 33 for Buehler, 32 for Zach Wheeler. You know, a lot of the numbers were similar across the board. They really, you could have had any one of those top three win it, and it wouldn't have been wrong. I don't think it's wrong that Burnes won it. I just think it's interesting that innings were not prioritized, that didn't seem to be a tiebreaker of any kind. So thought that was interesting. Now, what I really think is fascinating about the Cy Young Award is on the American League side, and it's Robbie Ray. See, Robbie Ray got a contract for 2021 from the Blue Jays for $8 million, coming off the year before where he was not very good. You know, in 2020, Robbie Ray had a 6.62 ERA. Now, it's not a full season. So I think we all should have understood that, you know, even though he had a bad year, and by the way, his fielding independent was the same. It was 6.50, so he earned that 6.62 ERA, and it was all command. He had significant problems with walks in 2020. And here's a case, though, where a team spent money on a player and Robbie Ray had a terrible year, but had a lot of good underlying characteristics. Strikes a lot of people out, misses a lot of bats, had been better in previous years. You know, Robbie Ray's previous three seasons, he was really good. You know, he'd already had three 200 strikeout seasons in his career with the Arizona Diamondbacks before 2020. So what's interesting is this goes into the topic we talked about yesterday, in that traditional stats are not what teams evaluate. And look at the big reward that Toronto got for making that commitment, for seeing that all he needed to do was throw more strikes and he's fine. And you had to, you know, look, you had to feel like you had to be some kind of confident to feel like you can help him make that change. Because he was in Toronto last year in 2020. He was there for just five games and made four starts. And his numbers were better there than they were in Arizona. But they had to have confidence that they could fix it. Because, you know, he had 45 walks in 51 innings in 2020. He had 52 walks this year in 193 innings. So clearly, you know, you look at his walks per nine. In 2020, he walked almost eight batters per nine. And then this past season, it was only two and a half, 2.4 to be specific. So it's, again, about the underlying things. Okay, A, what has he done previous to this? B, how's the velocity? How's the stuff? C, you know, what are the things that we can look at that need to get better, and are they correctable? And command is generally correctable, again, especially when you're talking about somebody who had success before. So Robbie Ray goes from a horrible year and people kind of laughing that Toronto gave him $8 million to now he won the Cy Young and struck out 248 batters in 193 innings with a 2.84 ERA in the American League. So I thought that was interesting. Now, this also brings me to the Jack Flaherty topic that I teased a little bit. And again, you know, Jack Flaherty in his last full season, 2019, finished fourth in the Cy Young Award voting. Got MVP votes, finished 13th in the National League MVP voting. You know, 33 starts, 196 innings, 2.75 ERA, struck out 231 batters. We all know about the big streak that he had in there. I mean, he was amazing. And Flaherty was pitching just about that well early this year. Before he hit the injured list, you know, before the injuries came up, the oblique and then eventually later on the lat, he was really, really throwing the ball well. You know, in March and April combined, 3.18 ERA. In May, 2.67 ERA. Obviously, you know, at the end of May, very beginning of June is when he got hurt. And then he wasn't really a factor for the rest of the year, at least not consistently. You know, he only made, six more appearances and four more starts the rest of the year. So you look at the Cardinals with 90 wins and, you know, you ask yourself, at least I'm asking myself today, how many more wins would they have had if Jack Flaherty had just been healthy for 6 months? And again, you know, injuries happen, understandable. You know, you can't control those things. And this is not about anybody being blamed or anything. It's just an observation. I think he's at least a 3 to 5 game difference based on the way the starting pitching went, based on the problems that you had. You know, the guys filling in for him all struggled. All of them. You know, I mean, the guys filling in there are guys like Daniel Ponce de Leon and Johan Oviedo. You know, a guy like John Gant stuck around the rotation a little longer in part because you didn't have Jack Flaherty. I mean, you know, the guys that he would have been replacing were bad, like way below replacement level performance. And we know that Jack Flaherty is at least, you know, when healthy, he's a 3, 4, 5 win player. So, you know, when you're talking about replacing somebody below replacement level with somebody that far above it, you probably are looking at a 3, 4, probably 5 game difference in the standings. And by the way, guy like Jack Flaherty, similar impact to Adam Wainwright in that they also make things easier for the pen because Flaherty's not a five and dive guy. He's not out of there in the fourth inning. Jack Flaherty's a guy that typically goes 6 and then obviously can go 7, 8, 9 sometimes. And you know, the difference without him was significant. What I'm saying is, even with your club in 2021, if you just had Jack Flaherty healthy for 6 months, you probably win the division. That, to me, is the difference between the Cardinals at 90 wins and the Cardinals at 95 and being right there with Milwaukee. All right, stick around. Let's do a little more pitching talk. I'm going to get into the deals that we've seen so far and what they're telling us about the starting pitching marketplace. We'll hit to that next up here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's get into it, man. A little more baseball here. We've got St. Louis University women's basketball, Billikens women's basketball, coming up at the top of the hour. They're taking on Mizzou tonight at Chaffetz Arena, so we've got that for you at 7 o'clock. Pre-game's going to start at 6:45. All right, let's close on some baseball. And more pitching, to be specific. So we've seen in the last 24 hours a couple of the biggest name pitchers come off the market. Noah Syndergaard got $21 million for this coming year from the Angels on a one-year deal. Today, Justin Verlander got $25 million for the 2022 season, plus a player option for that same salary in 2023. And, of course, Verlander coming off Tommy John. He held a workout for teams recently, though, and he was throwing 97. So I think Verlander's healthy, at least for now. We always know that these recoveries can go weird. Just ask Syndergaard. He's thrown, a few innings here? Two innings, I think it is, in the last 2 years. Now, granted, 2020 wasn't a full season, but still, the fact that his Tommy John came down the time that it did, and he was supposed to be ready early in 2021, though, because his Tommy John came down in spring training of 2020. He was supposed to be ready early in the regular season, and then he had setbacks, and then obviously wasn't ready. So I don't know if that's going to happen with Verlander or not. I guess we'll see. But the point is that we're starting to see what the pitching marketplace looks like. The top end, even for risky guys, guy that hasn't pitched in 2 years in Syndergaard got $21 million for a year. Justin Verlander's 37 coming off Tommy John. He gets a guaranteed $50 million. Now, he can opt out after 2022, but it's guaranteed for him at $50 million for 2 years. Of course, I think we've seen now the middle of the market set. The middle of the market is Eduardo Rodriguez at 5 years, $77 million, which is, again, not that bad of a contract, really. When you look at it, it's like $15 million a year, like 15.4 for a guy in his late 20s. That's not a bad deal at all. I think that's the middle of the road right now. So we're getting an idea of what it's going to take. So, for example, Verlander and Syndergaard are different than some other guys. They're different than, say, Marcus Stroman, in that they are power pitchers, and teams love velocity, and they love strikeouts. And you're always going to get paid more when you have that characteristic, when you have that trait. Guy like Marcus Stroman, I think we can see, though, going to make more than Eduardo Rodriguez. He's had more consistency over the course of his career, and he had a better jumping off year in 2021 than Eduardo Rodriguez. So, I think we can safely see that a guy like Stroman's going to be $20 million-ish and probably at 4 or 5 years. So he's probably a $100 million, $120 million contract. So, as we start to look at the guys that are left, we're starting to have a better idea of where this market is heading. And I'll tell you where it's heading for Max Scherzer. And I know everybody in Cardinal Nation would love to see Max in a Cardinals uniform. I would love to see Max in a Cardinals uniform, but you're going to have to start getting your head around these numbers, because if Justin Verlander gets $25 million coming off Tommy John, and he's actually not 37, he's 39. Scherzer's 37. So he's 2 years younger than Verlander. He's not coming off Tommy John. In fact, he just finished at near the top of the Cy Young Award voting, just finished second in the Cy Young Award voting. He's going to get a massive AAV. I'm telling you guys right now, Max Scherzer is getting $35 or $40 million a year. And he might get that for 3 years. Think about the Trevor Bauer deal. Trevor Bauer got a deal from the Dodgers that was $40 million for 2021, $45 million for 2022, and then there was a $17 million contract for 2023, but Bauer had an opt-out. But it's still $100 million for 3 years. And keep in mind, Trevor Bauer was really good in 2020, But at no point in his career has he ever done the things that Max Scherzer's done. Max Scherzer has been this good for a long time and just finished great in the regular season in 2021. Max Scherzer's going to get the Bauer deal, guys. You're probably looking at $80 million over 2 years with some kind of option tacked on. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is don't hold your breath, because I don't think the Cardinals are throwing a $40 million a year contract out to a starting pitcher, do you? And by the way, I'm not sure they should. There are teams like the Dodgers that can do that, and they can handle it. It's no big deal. Not sure that's a great idea for a team in the place that the Cardinals are in right now. So we got a pretty good idea of where this market's going. We'll see, you know, what guys are good fits for the Cards and all that as we get deeper into the offseason. Probably might end up having to wait until February. Guys, stick around. You got Billikens women's basketball coming up, taking on Mizzou next here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.